Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It is Wednesday, Muad'Dib's. We're talking about minute 127 through 128 of Dune Part 2.
That's right.
And we're picking up halfway through a sentence that we got so rudely cut off on.
Just one word. We missed out on one word. But still fucking rude.
Yeah.
So, Irulan.
Was this all upon your advice?
Advice? Question mark?
And Guy's Helen Moheim goes, what?
Now, okay, so I want to talk about this. Was this all upon your advice? That's another clunker of a sentence, honestly. And I have to imagine that when Gaius Helen Moheim responded with what, it wasn't for her like feigning ignorance.
Yeah.
It was her saying like, what the fuck did you say?
That sentence reminds me so much of the James Bond movie subtitled Upon Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Sure.
Which is like, sure. But also,
like, I get it, but why are you saying that like that?
Yeah. The fuck is all this?
And it's the speed at which Moheim says what after this.
What?
Because it's not a, let me draw this conversation out.
Huh? It is, what?
Yes, exactly. It is just a, huh? The fuck did you just say?
Oh, God.
And if I'm going to reach back a little bit further, maybe that wasn't in the script.
Just a gaffe that they left in. Yeah. That'd be funny.
What?
What? And then Irulan clarifies.
She does. And she looks a little bit upset that she has to go back and clarify.
You this. Dense motherfucker.
Now, I don't know if you have people like this in your life. I have known folks like this in my life where they try to use a bunch of $2 words, a bunch of SAT words.
Okay.
And thinking that they're going to feel smarter than they are and come off as smarter than they are.
Are you implying that Irulan just finished her PSATs and she's feeling all saucy before she's...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Did you counsel my father to exterminate the Atreides?
Which is a much better way of saying the thing that she just asked.
Yeah.
So sometimes smaller words are better, folks.
And Gaius Helen Moheim, once again, not skipping a single fucking beat, just goes, of course I did. Why else would it have happened?
Now, how far along are you in the X-Files rewatch?
I'm still in season 2.
Okay.
Just rewatched the episode where Mulder is in L.A., the dangerous hellhole that is LA because there are vampires.
Oh, right.
Oh, Hamlet. The vampires are attacking the city.
So there's this point.
Shout out whitest kids you know.
There's this point in, it's either the very end of season 2 or the very beginning of season 3. I can't remember which episode.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched the series many times before. This is a like rewatch for the 5th or 6th time kind of.
This is my first.
Okay.
And there's this point where Mulder is presumed dead.
Yep.
And his father is dead.
Yep.
And they're at the funeral for his father. And there's this weird, creepy, shadowy figure man who's talking to Scully.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about this dastardly plot that's going on over the arc of the couple of episodes.
Sure.
Giving you backstory because it's important. She asks him, are your plans worth murdering for? And he goes, oh my, yes. It fucking killed me. He's just like, why, yes, of course. And it's the exact same energy that Moheim brings to her response here, where she says, of course I did. So Irulan comes back with a really good line read right here.
Yeah.
And I really like the way she did this. She goes, "You tried to sacrifice an entire bloodline."
Very, like, "I'm going to turn your Bene Gesserit bullshit back on you,"
right,
kind of thing. And Moheim is having none of it. Because she's just immediately like, "And I was right to do it.
And I do it again."
"The Kwisatz Haderach is a form of power that our world has not yet seen. The ultimate power. For 90 generations, we have supervised House Atreides. They were promising, but they were becoming dangerously defiant. Their bloodline had to be terminated. That is why we have put many bloodlines at work. Several prospects."
Yeah. And
Moheim just lays it all the fuck out. I mean, like, there's no, like, fluff or anything at this point. Moheim, I think, is pretty fucking over the entire situation. And she's just like, "Fucking dude, like, let it ride. Like, yeah, we're not recovering from this. Clearly, like, Shaddam is just fucked. So,
yeah,
and it's either fate or Paul. I have no dog in this fight at this point."
Now, Erlon's just listening. Erlon, I keep saying that. My country keeps coming out.
Erlon.
Erlon. Erlon keeps, Erlon's listening to this, and she is just in shock. Because again, like what you were just saying, I don't think she was expecting Moheim to just be like, "You want to fucking know the details? Here's the fucking details.
You can't handle the truth."
Exactly. So she, I guess, comes back with the only thing that she can.
"But my father."
Pretty much. She says, "But it's backfired. Paul's alive, and if he defeats Fade Rautha, my father will..."
"Your father will lose the throne no matter who prevails, but there is one way your family can remain in power, and through you, the continuation of our stewardship. One way. Are you prepared?"
Yes. Okay, so let's break down that, what's going on as those words are being said.
"Just wait till my daddy hears about this. Your dad's a bitch." That's basically what that's...
Yeah, this is the conversation.
Yeah.
So when Moheim says, "Your father will lose the throne no matter who prevails," this, because we're getting like a bunch of back and forth shots as the conversation's going on. This honestly looks like a surprise to Erlon.
It's absolutely a surprise to Erlon. Erlon, I think, believes that her father is still like fully in control and everything. And Shaddam is not, like, to what we've talked about several times throughout this season, but just this week, Shaddam is a old feeble man who has no grip on power anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Moheim isn't stupid. She knows that Vladimir is going to be doing some shit to try and secure the throne. She knows that Paul, and has known that Paul, has been alive at the very least since there was the idea presented to her by Irulan. But I don't think that was the revelation for Moheim. I think Moheim had known.
Yeah.
They basically had little, since before the attack on Arakeen. Like, yeah, she knew that
they
Vladimir,
have spies everywhere.
Well, they have spies everywhere, but she also knew that, like, Vladimir was still going to do some, like, kind of sketchy shit, even though she was like, "Jessica and the boy are under our protection." There was never really a idea that Paul wouldn't have made it in Moheim's mind.
Right. To a deeper point, I think this is where she is seeing that Moheim absolutely does not serve her father.
Yeah.
Now, she may have been picking up on inklings of this as it comes on, but I think she still thought that the Bene Gesserit and the Emperor's Truthsayer were there to serve the imperial throne. But now she is seeing...
No.
Yes. Now she is seeing that Moheim doesn't give a shit who's on the throne.
Yeah.
They have their own machinations. They have their own plans. They have everything else they have everything else outside of what they've got going on. And they don't give it two shits about...
They have their plans within their plans within their plans. Exactly. So, yeah.
And when she says, "But there's one way your family can remain in power, through, you know, the continuation of our stewardship, yada, yada." The face that Erlon gives here is like, maybe she's starting to see the bigger picture
mm-hmm.
as she's starting to say this.
Well, Irulan's also recognizing that she's what she thought was hot shit. In reality, she's just another pawn in the Bene Gesserit game where she's there to be married off.
She's an average student.
Yeah.
When she says, "Are you prepared?" You gotta see, you kind of see a shift in Irulan's face.
There's no kind of. There is a shift in Irulan's face and her demeanor at this point.
Yeah. I took it, and maybe you disagree here. I took it as she kind of shifts back into Bene Gesserit mode a little bit here.
And I take it as she's accepting her fate, that she's just a pawn to be married off.
Okay. Okay. I'm not sure if those are two different things.
Maybe.
I think we'll have a lot more, or maybe another layer to this at the beginning of tomorrow's minute, because we get cut off mid-sentence again.
We get cut off mid-word too,
yeah,
which is the worst kind of mid-sentence cutoff. "You've been preparing me my whole life, Reverend Mo-"
Reverend Moth?
Reverend Mothman.
Reverend Mothman?
Guy's Hell Mohan suddenly turns into Mothman.
Hell yeah. I didn't know she was from West Virginia. What a coinkadink. That's where Mothman's from, right? Or thereabouts?
I think Mothman is a West Virginia cryptid.
Ah, yes. Primary location associated with the Mothman legend is Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
All right.
Whew. Glad I got that right. All right. Well, I guess we'll have to finish this last syllable tomorrow.
I don't like the way you say the word syllable.
Sorry, I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Shut the fuck up. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay. You can find the Dune Minute online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully Zach cuts this bullshit out, but I know he's not going to, so I have to suffer through it.
We'll see you too, dear listener. You do too.
See you later.
Bye. We'll